This Easter Sunday, again, is a time to remember that when God starts something, he finishes it. That his promises are faithful, they're true. And as we celebrate today the resurrection, I want us to go to the gospel passage that was read for us a moment ago, and just to reflect for a moment on the empty tomb. I'll read us again just a couple of verses. I'm actually going to back up into chapter 27 of Matthew's gospel. There we're told in verse 59 and 60 that Joseph took the body and he wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. If you go on then to verses 65 and 66, we're told that Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers, go, make it as secure as you can." And so they went and they made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. I want us to focus this morning on that stone. I want us to think a little bit about the stone that came and closed off that tomb, Jesus' body dead behind it. I want us to focus on what the scriptures refer to as a great stone, the one that Joseph rolled to the entrance of the tomb of Jesus, a moment when the Pharisees were convinced Jesus' story had come to an end. They no longer had to deal with him. I want us to reflect on the stone that Pilate instructed soldiers to seal and to set guard over. Certainly a stone seemingly immovable. And I think that's the verses I've read now kind of point to this idea that when that stone was put in front of the tomb, it was as final as death itself. It was great. It took much effort to roll it in front of that tomb. But then, unlike other stones in front of tombs, Pilate sent a guard of soldiers to seal it and to stand guard over it. So not only was it heavy, was it immovable in that sense, but it had been shored up. And it was under lock and key, under guard, seemingly immovable. When Joseph laid Jesus' body in the tomb, we're told that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there to witness the moment when that stone was rolled into the entrance. Imagine standing with them there as the stone closes in over the entrance to the tomb. Imagine standing with Mary Magdalene and with Mary, who had also been at the foot of the cross, who had no questions about whether or not their Lord was dead, watching his body carried in, laid down, and then the stone rolled in, closing them off completely from him. Imagine standing there still with the cries of Hosanna, "Save us, please," upon their hearts, with Christ's words ringing in their ears, "I am the resurrection and the life." Three times in Matthew's gospel, we're told that Christ gave them a heads up. In chapter 16, these words ringing in their minds, for that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day raised. Again, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And finally, a third time, "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." finally imagine standing and looking at that stone, immovable, and remembering only hours before hearing these final words, "It is finished." It is finished. And we look at the tomb sealed tight. It is finished. But, as Jeremiah told us in the book of Lamentations, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear this yoke in his youth. And Isaiah tells us that thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning or repentance and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. See, behind the stone, behind that immovable stone, lied Jesus, crucified, died, and buried. But with him laid every sin that had ever been committed or would ever be committed. Yes, behind that stone, Christ went down into his grave, but with him went our sin, friends. With him went the things that we need saving from. It is finished. The old has passed away, but the new is coming. Holy Saturday is a bit like the moment when you're in a theater watching a movie. Last night during our Holy Saturday, Sasha actually mentioned one of the Avengers movies. It's a great example of this, where having watched an incredible movie, it seems over. But we wait, and we watch the credits hoping that there will be a credit scene, right? A scene that in some vague way speaks to this idea that the story actually isn't over. Those movies typically coming to an end, coming to a place where some things aren't tied up and we wonder what's going to happen. Holy Saturday, I think, is a bit like sitting in a theater and waiting for the credits scene. But in Matthew 28, the passage that Sarah read for us this morning, verses 2 to 4, tell us this about the stone. "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and they became as dead men." This immovable stone where Mary and Mary, they stood and they watched and they wondered and they heard the words of God ringing in their minds and in their hearts. Suddenly, with a great earthquake, heaven comes and moves the immovable. An angel of the Lord descending from heaven rolls back the stone and sits on it. This seemingly immovable stone is rolled away, and soldiers faint. Disciples marvel, and heaven rests. Friends, make no mistake, God hears every Hosanna. Every time that you pray, every time that you call out to him, from every part your life and your story that seems sealed behind a stone? He hears every hosanna. He hears every make speed to save us, make haste to help us. Your God is not hard of hearing. And he's not like Tom's father before resurrection life touched his life. He is moved with a deep, steadfast, and immovable love. A father who hears every hosanna. Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. But the story doesn't end there, friends. He descended dead. Behind that stone, he carried our sin with him. Our sin was laid down in that grave. Behind that stone, and a war was waged, and praise God, a victory was won over sin and death. He is risen. The enemy would love it if Jesus' story had ended in that tomb. The enemy would have loved it if Jesus' story had ended when his body was laid down and the stone rolled over and set immovable. And he will do everything he can to convince you that that's the story. In our lives, even as followers of Jesus, he will not let up doing everything he can to convince you that the stone is immovable. That the wages of sin is death and that death is final. That there's no way for that tomb to be opened again. He wants you to see in your life an immovable stone sealed and placed under guard. He wants you to believe in the areas of sin and death. The places where you need resurrection power to move, he wants you to believe that there's no hope, that the story is over. But wait. Maybe like Mary, we sit on that and we would look at the tomb, and everything would tell us that stone is immovable. But what about the open tombs? What about torn curtains? Darkened skies, undivided garments, unbroken bones, blood and water flowing from his side. Friends, the story is not over. I love that in Matthew 28, the same two Marys who watched the stone set in an immovable position got to see it rolled away. They get to see the stone moved from the entrance of the tomb, its contents empty. And they get to see on that very stone that seems so permanent, that seems so immovable, an angel sitting, having turned an immovable stone into a recliner. There from his place of rest to say, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. And then going from that place, going away to let everyone know that the immovable had been moved, that the impossible had been done, that life can come to dead places. The dry bones can rise again. They encounter Christ himself and fall down at his feet in worship. the very one who had broken ointments and fallen at his feet and prepared him for his burial, now falls again at his feet, celebrating, worshiping, and exalting the risen Christ. Friends, hear the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, fresh this morning on this Easter Sunday. If anyone comes to Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Graves cannot hold our God. There is no such thing as an immovable stone when it comes to Jesus. Where God is concerned, seemingly immovable stones are made into recliners. Stories are changed. Tom's testimony is one of many in this room today. That if anyone comes to Christ, the old passes away and the new has come. The invitation this morning on this Easter Sunday and throughout these coming weeks of Easter is to come to the Lord and to allow Him to move the immovable in your life. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're here this morning and this story, coming to church, hearing these things is somewhat new for you. You've never experienced what it was for God to bring you from death to life, to move the immovable. But when you hear the worship and you hear stories like what Tom shared and you hear the Word of God this morning and you hear me say that for God there are no immovable stones, that there's nothing that you have done or left undone that seals that stone in a way that God can't move it, then I want to invite you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday to say yes to Jesus. To recognize that He's present here with us and He would love to move stones out of the way that you could come out of death and into life. That you could experience resurrection life. And for those of you who know that resurrection life, who walk with Jesus, but like Tom kind of described, are still sitting in tombs, finding their confines and the walls of them a bit comfortable. Friends, anywhere today where you come and you carry heaviness, you carry sin, you carry brokenness, you feel captive, you feel oppressed, persecuted, locked down, this Resurrection Sunday, let us put our faith fresh in a God of resurrection power who loves to move the immovable, who actually wants to move those stones out of the way and turn them into places of rest from which we can declare the goodness of God. Let me pray for you. God, thank you this morning that you rose from the dead. That you truly, literally, and fully have the power of resurrection. And you love to use it. God, we thank you for all the ways that you have moved stones away from tombs. And the ways in which throughout this congregation this morning, we could give testimony to the incredibly good news of Jesus, that He rolls stones away, that because Christ was raised from the dead, so too can our sin be put to death and we be raised to new life. Father, right now we come to you and we bring our lives and we take a moment to just recognize anywhere where we long to and are desperate to see that truth play out in our lives. God, would you come this morning? We recognize that the stone sat immovable. But when heaven came and touched it moved without contest. We confess to you today, Lord, that we have sinned. We confess to you today, Lord, that we have pieces and parts of our stories in our lives that stand in need of resurrection power. And we confess to you that we can't move the stones. And ask that you would do it for us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and faith to believe.